On those wonderfully rare occasions when we experience a remarkable breakthrough, sometimes it feels like the rest of life will continue on a track of comfort and ease. And yet, whether it's a financial breakthrough, perhaps a victory at work, or earning a multi-year graduate degree, there's no guarantee that the load becomes lighter. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll draws this parallel from the Israelites, who escaped captivity from Egypt, only to find that wandering in the wilderness was hard work. Chuck titled today's message, From Eagle's Wings to Hornet's Stings.
Everything up until now, the Hebrews have learned, if you will, in the streets of the Egyptians. Now, there's a turning point. Now it will be God has spoken. And Moses, I want you to come up to the mountain. I want you to understand what I am going to say to the people. I want you to deliver the message to the people. I want them to know life will be different now that they have come to the mountain. They must take me seriously. I want them to prepare themselves for the delivery of the Torah. I'm going to write my word with my finger on the tablets of stone, and you're going to take my word back to them, and they're going to see for the first time my written word. I want them to be ready for it. So go back, have them wash themselves, have them consecrate themselves so that they will understand this is a serious message. In fact, verse 14, he went down from the mountain to the people, consecrated the people. They washed their garments. Look at the next verse. He said to them, be ready for the third day. Do not go near a woman. So it came about on the third day when it was morning, and I'm counting now six manifestations of God's presence from the mountains. There were one, thunder, two, lightning flashes, three, a thick cloud upon the mountain, four, a very loud trumpet sound, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. Verse 18, Mount Sinai was all in smoke. That's number five. Because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace. And six, the whole mountain quaked violently. Go over to 23. Let's go to the end of 23, beginning at verse 20. Look at verse 20 of chapter 23. I'm going to send an angel before you to guard you along the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. This is now moving from the scene at Sinai. The Lord is telling Moses, I'm going to take you and the Hebrews into the new land, and I'm going to protect you in that journey. The land is yours. It's yours to claim, but you need to be on your guard. An angel is going to go before you, verse 21. You are to obey his voice. Do not be rebellious toward him, for he will not pardon your transgression, since my name is in him. But if you will truly obey his voice and all that I say, then, and with that, I count 10 times the words I will appear in the balance of this chapter. Verse 22, I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. That's number one. Number two, verse 23, end of the verse. Well, it says, my angel will go before you and bring you into the land of the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, all of them. And I will completely destroy them. There's the second. I will completely destroy them. This is called a promise. I will do that for you. Next is verse 25. This is an interesting promise. You shall serve the Lord your God. He will bless your bread and your water, and I will remove sickness from your midst. Look at that promise. Number three, I'll keep you healthy. Verse 26, there shall be no one miscarrying or barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. That's number four. I will fulfill the number of your days. Number 5, verse 27, I will send my terror ahead of you. I don't know fully what that means. I can't describe that. It is some kind of divine protection where the Lord will intimidate the enemies as Israel comes across into the land of Canaan. He will send his terror ahead of them and throw the people into confusion. Look at verse 27 at the end. Here's the next promise. I will make all your enemies turn their backs to you. Verse 28, I had never seen this verse before a couple of weeks ago. I will send hornets ahead of you. Look at chapter 19. I'll show you where the eagle's wings are. Verse 4, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. So he took them out of Egypt almost like the little eaglets would ride on the wings of their mother eagle. I took you on eagle's wings, a beautiful way to describe the ease of their getting out of Egypt. The Lord just opened the gate. Pharaoh gave up. They walked out. But chapter 23, when they go into Canaan, this is going to be a tough journey. He said, I'm going to send hornets ahead of you that they may drive out the Hivites and the Canaanites and the Hittites. I bet they'll find them. And they're going to go ahead of you, and the Lord is going to take care of whatever may be the obstacle that will keep you from coming into the land of Canaan. Bear with me. I know where I'm going. I will send hornets, verse 30. I will drive out the people before you. Notice the words, little by little, until you become fruitful and take possession. 31, I will fix your boundary. And then the last, I will, the end of verse 31, I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and you will drive them out before you. You shall make no covenant with them or with their gods. They shall not live in your land, because they will make you sin against me. For if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare to you. You came out of Egypt on eagle's wings. I'm going to send you into the land of Canaan behind hornet stings. I know exactly what I'm going to do, and I'll take care of my part. You just obey me. Every project requires preparation. They came to Mount Sinai to be prepared for what was ahead of them. They need a clear word from God, and they got it in the Torah, chapters 20 to 23, 24. And they needed a place to worship, and they get that in the tabernacle, 25 to 33. But what they really needed was the promise that the Lord would watch over them. You know, folks, let me turn it to where we are today. I have no idea what's ahead of us. I read this passage, and I think the application is we need to trust God completely. What does it mean to take Him seriously? I've been thinking about that. I think it requires at least two things. It requires a heart that's holy and a fear that's healthy. I think it takes those two things. I take God seriously when I desire a clean heart before Him and when I hold Him in awesome reverence, a healthy fear. I'm not afraid of God. I just fear disobeying Him. There's a difference. I'm not scared of God, but I fear Him greatly. Take Him seriously. And then trust Him completely. I thought about that, and I think that involves two things. First, focusing on the objective rather than the obstacles. I challenge all of us to do this. In the coming weeks, let's focus on the objective rather than the obstacles. The Lord tells His people, you're going to go to the land of Canaan. I will take care of all of these things. Obey me, and we'll walk together into the land. Here's the second thing that involves trusting Him completely. It involves doing what is courageous. Not expecting a freebie. doing what is courageous and not expecting that everything is going to be automatic. That's why I said I wanted you to observe the words little by little, verse 30 of chapter 23. I will drive them out before you little by little. Isn't that interesting that God said it like that? Rather than as soon as you get near the land of Canaan, I'm sending in multiple billions of hornets, and they'll have killer stingers, and those people will just fall down and die. No. He says you're going to go in and you're going to drive them out little by little until you become fruitful and take possession. In fact, 32 and 33 says there's some responsibilities you have. You won't make a covenant with them and you won't serve their gods, because if you do, they will cause you to sin against me and it will surely be a snare. And you know what? That's exactly what happened. They never did really drive them all out of the land, and they became a snare to them. God has graciously brought us on eagle's wings from where we have been to where we are. And every story represented by every person sitting here is different. Some of you have moved from another city to this one. Some of you have come from another church to this one. A number of you have really come from no church to this one. Our stories all differ. And it's as if we've been born on eagle's wings, and as we've come together to where we find ourselves full of anticipation. I will tell you, having been through this three other times in church ministries, and this is my fourth, as I was telling our elders the other evening, it isn't all a downhill slide once we've made our move into the new building. Some things will happen little by little. Little by little, we prepare for this great project, realizing that some of the work will still rest with us. We will not get there automatically. It will require sacrifice, generosity, willing and stirred hearts, which is my message for next time. A commitment to the cause that is greater than probably any of us has ever known. Because I think it's that kind of future that the Lord has for this ministry. We're like the foundational gathering where the Lord is going to use us to set the stage for what will come in the years ahead. So we have no plans to make covenant with any kind of thing or individual that will turn us from our God, or in the process to sin against him, knowing that if we did so, we would surely be a snare to those in the future. I want to be painfully candid, and then I'm all through. I have never been more excited about the future of a ministry than this one. Never. And I've been engaged in ministries now for almost 40 years. This is the most exciting I've ever been a part of. But I'm concerned. I'm concerned that all of us know the importance of pulling together and staying together during this critical period of time. It's like when the baby comes near birth, it's very critical that everything be kept right, that the right equipment be available, that the right physician be there, that the right setting, because you never really know during that process what could happen. I know this, our enemy hates everything we're about and would love to tear us apart from within and to separate us. We're watching some of that frayed situation happen in our nation. And it's like a preliminary warning that how could all of this occur in just a matter of weeks, where it looked like a rather smooth turning point But it is anything but smooth. And every day we wonder, what's next? What is next? What is next? And I'll tell you, part of the reason is because God is not enthroned in this country. And we are experiencing the result of human wisdom that invariably will turn to the courtroom rather than the prayer room, that will invariably go in selfish ways rather than sacrificial ways. I learned from my mentor a wonderful story that I pass on to you. Many years ago, he gave it to me. Two goats met on a narrow, narrow path on a mountain slope. Very narrow. Only room for one goat to pass. Each was going in opposite directions. So they decided to just butt one another, as goats will do. And you could hear the echo of their horns as they rammed one another time after time after time until one of them realized, unless one of us kneels down and lets the other walk over, we'll never make it through alive, either one of us. So the one that was willing knelt down and let the other one walk over to the other side, and they passed their way. Not a simple story. But you remember that, okay? I can assure you, before we have been into this new facility 3 months, the enemy will already be after us because he despises where it's going and what it represents. But I have the assurance that our Lord, who brought us on eagle's wings, will help us, even if it takes the hornets, to deal with whatever is before us. But our job is to take him seriously and to trust him completely. Take him seriously and to trust him completely. And I haven't the wisdom or the energy or the knowledge to do battle with a congregation this size, nor will I, nor should we. We must keep it together under the power of the Spirit, walking sensitively with our God, giving to the point of sacrifice to make it a reality, men and women. I'm committed to that, and I plead with you to be equally committed. If that's true, and if you are, we'll make it. Having been warned, I believe it's appropriate that we walk rather sensitively during the next number of weeks, the final 6 weeks of this year. And as you watch what unfolds with our nation, remember that same kind of thing can happen in a church. I've seen it. Much to my heartache, I've seen it happen in a church. Let's bow together. Let's close our eyes. Let's commit ourselves to what is before us, this rather sober moment. May I address the last 2 points, taking God seriously and trusting God completely. You taking him seriously? You're not compromising, are you? You're not living a double life, are you? You're not weakening the fabric of this body by the things you're saying or the subtle things you're doing, are you? Let's take him seriously. And trusting him completely, there's nothing to worry about. He will go before us, but he will do it little by little, day by day, relationship by relationship. If you've never met the Lord Jesus Christ, what a perfect moment this is for you to do so. It's a relatively simple process. You acknowledge that you're lost, and you in yourself are sinful and unable to earn your own way into his presence and favor in heaven. And admitting that, you ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come and to live and to enthrone himself in your life and to replace your sinfulness with his righteousness. It's like taking a gift, receiving it. Lord, you know that our hearts are sinful, and you know that this is a fallen world. We're seeing evidence of it before our very eyes on every evening news broadcast. We're witnessing again and again and again on both sides. We're seeing evidence of stubbornness and resistance and selfishness. And so little is said, even the name of God mentioned so rarely. And we're watching the flesh battle the flesh. And I pray, Lord, that you will give us as a country the ability to survive these difficult times. I pray, Lord, that the same fallen condition will not characterize this ministry in the delicate days of the future. May we stand on tiptoe like the ancient Hebrews who heard the horn as it blew and saw the smoke and the cloud and the lightning that flashed on that mountain and realized that you are to be taken seriously. Find in us hearts willing to do that. Give us an unselfish generosity, a greatness of heart in the process of transitioning from the way we were to the place we will be. And Lord, may we trust you completely. Just as we trusted you to get us out of Egypt, we trust you to get us into this new land and to bring us safely to the other side, together as a body, as a family, as a group of caring and compassionate and forgiving men and women. Go before us, Lord. Stay behind us. Surround us with what we need, lest it be just another example of a church that grew quickly and then dissolved because they couldn't settle their own arguments. Give us a sense of peace and confidence that you are in the lead, and cause us, whether we are among the leadership or those newest in this church, cause us all to trust you completely as we walk sensitively and humbly with our God through these all-important days before us. I ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Concluding a three-day study, you're listening to the Bible teaching of Chuck Swindoll. He titled his message, From Eagle's Wings to Hornet Stings, and this is Insight for Living. To hear any portion of the study again, you can find downloadable audio files or purchase CDs when you go to insightworld.org. Tomorrow, we'll turn our attention to several chapters in Exodus that are perfectly suited for Thanksgiving. While you have some extra time over this extended holiday weekend, take a few minutes to download the free study notes that coincide with any of Chuck's messages. It's our Searching the Scriptures option at insightworld.org/studies. Please bear in mind, Chuck's teaching on your station is the direct result of voluntary giving from listeners like you. As God prompts you to give, we urge you to follow His leading. It's not the size of your gift that matters, but only the fact that you've taken the personal initiative to participate in this meaningful way. If you're listening in the United States, you can give a donation right now by calling 1-800-772-8888. Many have found it easier to automate their giving as a monthly companion. In this relationship, you're having a profound impact on those who aren't in a position to give as you are, and your gifts truly make a difference. Not long ago, someone left a message for Chuck on social media that said, "Wow, you'll never know what your words meant to me today. We serve an awesome God, despite that I'm right in the middle of a stormy trial right now. I will trust in His invincible might and power to bring me through. Thank you from the bottom of my heart." And this note came from South Africa. It's our monthly companions who provide the financial means to reach out all over the world. And on the writer's behalf, we say thank you. To become a monthly companion right now, go online to insight.org/monthly companion. Or if you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. Cruise ships leave the harbor for Alaska all the time, but there's only one that's hosted by Insight for Living Ministries. You're invited to travel with Chuck Swindoll this summer.
Every moment of your vacation is thoughtfully prepared and protected so that you can enjoy the perfect balance of rest, adventure, relaxation, sightseeing, and just plain fun. All in the company of those who share your respect for God's Word and God's creation.
Yeah, I'll put it this way. God had a very good day when He created Alaska. I was awestruck by the majestic mountains, the wildlife, the quaint little seaports.
All my life, I've wanted to see a glacier. When I stepped out on the deck of our ship and witnessed the massive wall of ice, wow, it was truly breathtaking.
Escape with Insight for Living Ministries on our 40th anniversary to the great frontier of Alaska. The dates are June 29 through July 6, 2019, and it won't be the same without you.
Call 1-888-447-0444. That's 1-888-447-0444. Or learn more at insight.org/events. The tour to Alaska is paid for and made possible by only those who choose to attend. Tomorrow, Chuck Swindoll describes the only motivation that leads to selfless, authentic generosity. Join us right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, From Eagle's Wings to Hornet's Stings, was copyrighted in 2000, 2002, and 2018, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2018 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.